Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth your relative has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Again, verses 26 to 38, Luke chapter 1. Again, verses 26, 38, Luke chapter 1. Father, we thank you for the glorious and the wonderful and the blessed story of Christmas, the coming, your coming into the world so long ago as our baby, as a baby, as our Savior of the world as well, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thank you, Lord, for your glorious coming and the wonderful story that envelops your wonderful coming. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace and the spirit of giving. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you call us to imitate you. And as you did on your birthday, you came bringing the world the greatest gift the world has ever received, and that was you. Lord, help us to be believers that are fully given to you, fully available for your spirit to use to bring, continue to bring the greatest gift, that is you, Jesus, to a world that desperately needs who you are and all that you came to do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Rick Robertson is our producer. Rick is going to share a word of prayer at this time.
Father, we rejoice today in Jesus Christ, your Son that you sent to die for us, the one who was pierced for our transgressions, who was crushed for our iniquities. We are healed through his stripes, Father. What a blessing. We thank you for that. We thank you for loving us that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We want to say a word of thanks to all of our listeners, and we praise God for his faithfulness in working through you that were able to help us with the Greatest Journey project we were involved with on yesterday. AFR supporters across the country have helped to provide funds that help to send close to 7,000 children on the Greatest Journey, which again is the discipleship arm of the ministry Operation Christmas Child. And the Greatest Journey is the title of the ministry portion that involves discipling the children, and what a great outreach it is. We're still hoping to reach our goal of sending 10,000 children on the Greatest Journey. If you didn't have the opportunity to give financially and help, we invite you. You still have that opportunity. You can simply go to AFR.net online if you wish to, AFR.net, or you can call 1-877-616-2396 to donate that way as well. Again, 1-877-616-2396, again, to help with this great outreach called The Greatest Journey, a wonderful discipleship ministry that is an extension of Operation Christmas Child to help children both come to know Christ and then to be discipled, to grow up in their faith in Christ as well. Hope that you will get involved. Once again, the number 1-877-616-2396 to call in, or go online to afr.net to give online if you wish to. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're honored to have with us once again Evangelist Herdesine Gorey of Night Watch Ministries. Evangelist Herdesine. You know, the whole gang is chiming in. They're just so glad to have Evangelist Herdesine back.
Thank you so much for inviting me back, and I just love what Pete is doing.
Pete chimes in when we hear from him pretty regularly, you know, as he gets excited about different guests, and he's especially excited to have you today.
But so, thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me again.
If you'll take a moment now just to reintroduce yourself. There may be some people that may have not caught a broadcast that you've been on with us before, but reintroduce yourself and tell them about who you are and what Night Watch Ministries is about.
My name is Herdesine Gorey, and I'm from Nellaton, Mississippi, born and raised there. And matter of fact, Night Watch Ministry is located in the home that I was raised in. My mother and father always had family prayer in that home. And when my mother passed, she told us to keep her home as it was and had no idea that God was going to lead me to Night Watch Ministry out of that home that have always been filled with prayer. And people would always welcome into the home. And so Night Watch Ministry is about prayer, deliverance, helping the needy, ministering to the hurt, praying for the ones who seems as if they are hopeless. We are about the kingdom of God and doing his business. So often he pulls us to so many different things from what I thought we were about in the very beginning. But seems as if each day he's pulling us to in a different direction to minister to different people in different ways.
And I'm expanding your territory.
Yes, yes. And I prayed that prayer of Jabez years ago to expand my territory. I had no idea what I was asking. But I'm thankful and I'm grateful because God is doing what he have ordained me to do from the creation of the earth and before I was even woven into my mother's womb.
Amen. Well, if someone wants to get in touch with you or Night Watch Ministries, how could they do that?
At 207 Road 1203, Nellaton, Mississippi, and that zip is 38858. And they can also get in touch with me through my email address, which is Herdesine, Herdesine, at bellsouth.net, and also on my Facebook page.
All right. Okay, then. And a part of what we'll be looking at today is we're going to be looking at the great outreach in our culture known as pregnancy ministries and, you know, pregnancy resource centers, which is a great outreach that's doing a great work in our culture today in the pro-life cause. And also specifically, we're going to be talking about the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center, which, of course, I want to just mention that Evangelist Herdesine is one of our board members as well and consented to come on our board and is doing a great job. And we're inviting, we're inviting every listener, please pray much with us. Just to give you a little background, there may be some of our listeners know some about the origins of this project and this outreach ministry, but some of them may not have heard about this much. But for a good many years, my wife Bertie and I, we've pastored churches in the Mississippi Delta and saw a need in that part of the state for an additional pregnancy ministry. There were a couple, but the Mississippi Delta is a vast part of the western part of the state of Mississippi, and it covers a lot of ground and quite a few people. Well, there was definitely a need in some of the most populous areas of the Delta where there were no pregnancy clinics at all. And I had discussions with people who saw the need as well, but nothing was really happening. And so in the midst of our discussions, at a certain point, the Lord said, you do it. And, you know, I really wasn't looking to hear that. But once we got clarity that that's what the Lord wanted us to do, by his grace, we embarked upon the journey. And God has done some miraculous things along the way, and so now he's brought us thus far. That journey started probably about 3 years ago. And by his grace, now God has blessed us. And you know, Evan just heard us sing, God can take all the credit for this because he's miraculously raised up, blessed us to the money's raised. Now we have purchased the mobile medical unit by the grace of God. It's been ordered and it will be here the early part of next year. But again, no person outside of Jesus can take credit for it. The Lord miraculously provided the money, so we praise God for that.
And I am just so thankful because I remember when you called me in 2018 about that pregnancy unit, and you were telling me about it, and I was just so excited to know that God had touched your heart to bring you forth to save another baby's life. And I remember when you called me, I started getting in touch with people, asking them to give for this unit. And every seed that they would give was a seed for life.
Praise God.
God rejoices over life. And so people just start donating and people start giving. And I was just overly thrilled. And as you said, it wasn't me. It was God using me and speaking through me in order to get this done. And I just rejoice over it.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, again, the ministry of Pregnancy Resource Centers is so vitally important in all of our nation and in our culture, because they're on the front lines of this important work of helping to save babies and to be a voice for children who can't speak for themselves. And it's so typical that many times women will come by, and sometimes women who are actually on their way to abortion clinics will stop by a pregnancy clinic. But then some women who just feel hopeless and don't know where to turn will go to a local pregnancy center. And the goal typically at your average Christian pregnancy resource center is where their goal is to counsel them, help them to realize it's not the end of the world, that there's hope, and hope in Jesus Christ. And what many people are not aware of is that lots of evangelism and discipleship happens through your average pregnancy center, wherever it may be located. And so I would encourage every single listener, find out where your local pregnancy clinic is and pray daily for the work they do and pray for the ministry of pregnancy clinics across our nation. But also prayerfully just choose to become a financial giver to support the work they're doing, as well as a prayer partner, and volunteer at them as well. They can use all the help they can get. And you have people that sometimes raise money through baby bottle campaigns, but through different means, people that give diapers, children's clothes, all kinds of ways to get involved. But it's such an important outreach. And so we'll get a chance to talk more about specifically the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center, the center that you and I serve on the board together with. But also, again, if you're a listener and you don't know much at all about the work of your local pregnancy clinic or any pregnancy clinic, educate yourself. Find out, because, again, God is using them mightily to do a great work in our culture, in the midst of a culture where there are many people that are standing for life. But then sadly, there are many other people who are angry at the idea of ending the opportunity for people to have abortions at will. So lots of spiritual warfare around this issue. But we want to be about God's business, to know his heart on this issue. God tells us, choose life that you and your children may live. So if you'd like more information about the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center, you can go to our website at greenwoodhopecenter.org. Again, that's greenwoodhopecenter.org to learn more about it. And if you'd like to become one of our prayer partners, we certainly would appreciate it. And if you'd like to give financially, we would appreciate it. There's a link on the website for that as well. But we hope that you will choose to either get involved to help us or to help your local pregnancy clinic as well. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
music of B.B. and C.C. Winans, Silent Night. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're honored to have as our in-studio guest today, Evangelist Herdiseen Gori of Night Watch Ministries. And we're looking specifically at the topic of Christmas, crisis, pregnancy, and life today here on the broadcast. And I'm going to pick up and share further with the scripture we read earlier from Luke chapter 1, picking up once again at verse 26, and I'm going to be reading through verse 56, but it's a passage that helps us to see very clearly that pregnancy, expecting mothers, and Christmas all go hand in hand, and it's powerfully borne out in Luke 1. Again, picking up at verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Again, that was Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Evangelist Herdiseen Gori of Night Watch Ministries. Evangelist Herdiseen, you know, that's such a powerful passage of scripture with so much in it. But amongst other things, it speaks very powerfully to the reality of, again, pregnancy, expecting mothers, and how they're tied in mightily to the subject of Christmas, though.
As you were reading it, tears were welling in my eyes. And the tears are because I rejoice because Jesus dismantled his majesty to come to a lowly stable for each one of us. And then when you think about a baby in the womb, he's the one that put the baby there. The baby, no matter how the baby was conceived, is still life from him.
That's right.
And as I look at this, my heart just rejoiced, and I fall deeper and deeper in love with Jesus because he's so caring and merciful, and the things he does for us is so gentle and unique, and it's no words. You can't put words to how beautiful he is. And as I was leaving home this morning, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, your heart is a Christmas tree. And I started thinking about it. And years ago, while in my fourth watch prayer, I was in my prayer room, and I was just before God in praise. And I began to say, Jesus, let me feel with your heart. Let me feel with your heart. And I had no idea what I was saying at the time, but that was my desire. And the more I seek him daily, the more he reveals to me his beauty through nature, how he sings over us with the nightingale at night, that he never even leaves us. He was a baby in Mary's womb. The babies in a mother's womb right now, that the mother is seeking a way to get rid of this child because the mother may feel hopeless or the mother may feel as if she has no other place to turn. But Jesus is saying, just let me sing over you because it's so precious. He humbled himself to be a baby, and he knows exactly how it feels to be in the womb. And so I rejoice over this season. I rejoice over Mary, him using Mary. And more so, I'm rejoicing because he is using you to bring awareness to people about the precious gift of life. And all of us can help to bring that life forward.
You know, and it's very powerful to see how that within the what we think of as the traditional Christmas story, we see not just one, but two unique pregnancies that came under unique and different circumstances. One, a teenage mother who found herself pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and she was carrying the Messiah, which is a once in all history an event. And of course, the God of the universe became a baby. And chose, and Jesus is the only person in history who was able to choose his own mother. And so he selected his mother and was born through a virgin. And then Elizabeth, who was probably old enough to be someone's great-grandmother, pregnant for the first time. And if you can imagine, you know, and scripture specifically points out she went into hiding. And, you know, it kind of a humorous side, she might have thought, I'm not going to deal with all of these questions. People asking like, Grandma, how are you pregnant? How is it you're pregnant? You know, that kind of thing. But two unique pregnancies, and God uses them to fellowship with one another and fellowship with him as he's doing a once in all of history work in bringing the Messiah into the world and the forerunner who would prepare the way for his coming as well. And these were the two mothers that God was going to use to do it.
And you know, the beauty of this is he always puts someone in our path to encourage us. He put Elizabeth in the path of Mary. He put Mary in the path of Elizabeth. And he used both of those because he knew how he was going to use the fruit that was in that womb.
That's right. That's
and so we all need someone human to help encourage us along the way, to help us along the way. And that's how he used Elizabeth and Mary.
To bless both of them.
Yes.
And you can imagine how maybe alone Mary may have felt, but then thought, you mean my wonderful cousin Elizabeth is expecting a baby while at the same time I'm expecting one?
Exactly.
And of course, something interesting about the Gospel of Luke, of course, is Luke is a doctor, and he includes details that probably mainly a doctor and an expecting mom would take note of and think about. Just like, for example, in verse 26, it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee. And again, that's Luke 1:26. Well, you could ask, the sixth month of what? Well, this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Well, who thinks about those things? Men sure don't, you know.
Exactly.
But the fact is, an expecting mom, she'd be counting the months. And of course, a doctor would count things like that. And of course, it specifically points out that Mary apparently stayed with her 3 months, apparently the balance of her pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And so Mary was her first 3 months of pregnancy, where Elizabeth's last 3 months. Well, again, details that we can draw from Luke's writing, again, as a doctor, things he'd point out that, again, mothers might pick up real quick. Us men would probably miss it real quick if we're not paying attention. So, but details that God chooses to include in his wonderful word of God.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
And so, you know, again, it's a beauty to think of this, that just the whole topic of pregnancy and the unique blessings and challenges of motherhood all wrapped up within the Christmas story. And we see much of it in the lives of young Mary and Elizabeth as well. And just a beautiful picture that's painted within the bounds of the Christmas story.
It's a beautiful picture of birth, mm-hmm. a beautiful picture of a child in the womb.
That's right.
Because God is the one that's covering that child in the womb, and that's the reason he needs each of us to support that mother, to pray for that mother, so that child can come forth.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to take a moment to read, and we may have to finish this on the other side of the break, though, but it's an article, and I've shared before, but I'm going to share it in the context of our broadcast today. But it carries that title, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. And, of course, it addresses some of the issues that Mary and Elizabeth were facing, but some of the same issues that we're dealing with in our culture and in our world today. And it's a need for the church to see these from a biblical perspective and to seek to address them from a biblical and a Holy Spirit perspective as well. So, again, the article, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. And if you'd like to email us to get a copy, please do. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of this article entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Interwoven in the fabric of the wonderful story of Christmas is this unique truth. Christmas and expecting moms go hand in hand. Yes, pregnancy, and specifically crisis pregnancy, has a precious heartwarming tie to Christmas. How so? Actually, it's very obvious. The Christmas story has not just one, but two unusual pregnancies contained within its pages. The specific story within the Christmas story is captured in Luke chapter 1. Two mothers meet, come together, and worship and fellowship with each other. One is a teenage mother that has miraculously conceived by a virgin pregnancy. The other mom is one who would normally be classified as a grand or great-grandmother based on her age, yet she is an expecting mom as well. We often see and think of this story as a warm, lovely story full of peace, joy, and grace. And it is such a story. Yet the world then was, in so many ways, a very harsh, cruel, and perilous world to live in, a world where foreign armies occupied Israel, a world where kings and nations sometimes killed babies in large numbers, and a world where jealousy and disloyalty abounded. Actually, it sounds a lot like the world we live in today. Our world is one where children can legally be killed from conception right up until the moment of delivery. And governments not only do not oppose this, they often finance the carrying out of these tragedies. And often, so-called experts advise for all sorts of foolish and trivial or misguided reasons women to end the lives of their babies in the womb. And time again, the women are advised to terminate their children based on the quote-unquote wisdom or so-called insight of these quote-unquote experts. All the while, the counsel and clear guidance from God's word is clear. You shall not murder, Exodus 20, verse 13. God's word is our guidebook for all of life. His word will never lead us to make a bad decision or an unwise decision. God himself is wisdom, so we need to stand on the wisdom of God's word, which will always lead to blessing, grace, and fulfillment. The word of God also says, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. In looking at the beautiful and grace-filled story of Christmas, let's consider a what-if scenario. In seeking to bring together the world at the time of the first Christmas and today with our culture and perspective, again, we ask the question, what if? Dr. Johann eyed his young patient long and hard. Young Miss Mary, you are just a teenager. You're not even fully an adult. You really need to think this through. It simply would not be wise to keep your baby. You're not married, and you do not know how to tell your betrothed that you're pregnant, and you're just a child yourself. Child, you must listen to wisdom. If you keep this baby, your betrothed will surely divorce you. You'll be a single mother, and you'll be a poor single mother. No one will want you. You'll end up all alone and die in poverty, and no one will ever remember your name. But we're going to cut off there and we'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. And our in-studio guest today is Evangelist Herdecine Gorey. We'll be right back. Music of Larnell Harris with King Jesus is His Name. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Evangelist Herdecine Gorey with Night Watch Ministries. And picking up, I was sharing from an article entitled Christmas Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. And again, if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. But an article that helps us see the tie between Christmas, pregnancy, and life. An issue that was going on way back in the days of Jesus' birth that's still being an issue that deals with a lot of spiritual warfare in our culture today as well. I'm just going to start once again from the beginning at this point. Again, the title, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Interwoven into the fabric of the wonderful story of Christmas is this unique truth. Christmas and expecting moms go hand in hand. Yes, pregnancy, and specifically crisis pregnancy, has a precious, heartwarming tie to Christmas. How so? Actually, it's very obvious. The Christmas story has not just one, but two unusual pregnancies contained within its pages. The specific story within the Christmas story is captured in Luke chapter 1. Two mothers meet, come together, and worship and fellowship with each other. One is a teenage mother that has miraculously conceived by a virgin pregnancy. The other mom is one who would normally be classified as a grand or great-grandmother based on her age, yet she is an expecting mom as well. We often see and think of this story as a warm, lovely story full of peace, joy, and grace. And it is such a story. Yet the world then was in so many ways a very harsh, cruel, and perilous world to live in. A world where foreign armies occupied Israel. A world where kings and nations sometimes killed babies in large numbers. And a world where jealousy and disloyalty abounded. Actually, it sounds a lot like the world we live in today. Our world is one where children can legally be killed from conception right up until the moment of delivery. And governments not only do not oppose this, they often finance the carrying out of these tragedies. And often, so-called quote-unquote experts advise for all kinds of foolish and trivial or misguided reasons, advise women to end the lives of their babies in the womb. And time again, the women are advised to terminate their children based on the quote-unquote wisdom or so-called insight of these quote-unquote experts. All the while, the counsel and clear guidance from God's word is clear. You shall not murder. Exodus 20:13. God's word is our guidebook for life. His word will never lead us to make a bad decision or an unwise decision. God himself is wisdom. So we need to stand on the wisdom of God's word, which will always lead to blessing, grace, and fulfillment. The word of God says, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. In looking at the beautiful and grace-filled story of Christmas, let's consider a what-if scenario. In seeking to bring together the world at the time of the first Christmas and today with our culture and perspective, what if? Dr. Johann eyed his young patient long and hard. Young Miss Mary, you are just a teenager. You're not even fully an adult. You really need to think this through. It simply would not be wise to keep this baby. You are not married. You do not know how to tell your betrothed that you are pregnant, and you are just a child yourself. Child, you must listen to wisdom. If you keep this baby, your betrothed will surely divorce you. You will be a single mother, and you will be a poor single mother. No one will want you. You will end up all alone and die in poverty, and no one will ever remember your name. And your child will surely amount to nothing, and no one will ever remember his name either. You must not keep this child. Trust me, I'm a doctor, and we know all about matters like this. Be reasonable. You and the rest of the world will be so much better off if we just quietly do away with this baby. What do you say? Mary's response, good day, doctor. I'm keeping my baby. Mark my words, you and your baby will never amount to anything, and no one will ever even remember your names. The next scenario. Dr. Johann looked at the elderly woman very curiously. Listen, Elizabeth, I don't know how in the world this came to be, you pregnant when you're old enough to be someone's great-grandmother yourself, but let me be straight with you. You really should not keep this child. With your being so old and carrying a child, there will probably be something wrong with the child. A woman your age could not hardly have a healthy child. The child will probably have many problems. At your age, who knows, you and the child both could die during labor. Be reasonable. Make it easy on yourself and the baby and just get rid of it. If the child does survive childbirth, he will probably have so many problems, he probably won't even be able to talk. His life will never amount to anything, and he will probably grow up to be a burden on society and nothing else. Mark my words, I'm a physician, and we understand about these kinds of things. Don't you think you should do away with the baby? Elizabeth's response, good day, doctor, I'm keeping my baby. Suit yourself, old woman, but know this, you and the whole world will regret your decision. I'm a professional, and I know very well how these kinds of things turn out. Again, the article entitled, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. And again, if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share it. So, Evangelist Curtis, I want to ask just your thoughts that come to mind as it relates to some of the issues addressed in the article.
Well, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's one thing for the government, mm-hmm. but it's another thing for the church.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so often women choose abortion so often because of the stigma that's put on them from the one they worship with. Mm-hmm. The doctor is the world. Mm-hmm. And we can overlook the world because when we are servants of God. Mm-hmm. But when we are servants of God, we have to caress that person no matter the mistakes they have made. And then we also look at when a person has a handicap that they can't offer anything to the world. Mm. Well, who are we to say what they can offer? Because that's right. There's many things that people with handicaps have that God uses in so many amazing ways. Mm. Matter of fact, I was given a picture of a young man that paints with his mouth. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. And when my granddaughter saw it, mm-hmm. she wanted that picture. So it's in her bedroom now. Mm-hmm. So we can't choose how God brings a life into this world, that's right. how God forms us in the womb, because that's his choice.
That's That's right.
And so too often, as I say it, we can overlook the government.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the world, but not of the world.
That's right.
So we have to choose things God's way. And the saddest thing about it is that you have so many that's in church that they don't even know that a child can be aborted. If that child is due that tomorrow, it can be aborted today.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know this. And when mm-hmm. I tell them this, they say, well, where is this? It's facts. And they don't even know the tragedy of mm-hmm. what the government have approved for people to do against a child in the womb.
That's right. We
know that's the enemy, because that was the enemy speaking to Mary. That was the enemy speaking to Elizabeth because she went into hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Mary felt as if she had to hide, but God spoke to Joseph. Because
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit can guide us in the way he has for us to go. So that's the beauty of that story. And we're facing this today, mm-hmm. and we need to educate ourselves of the tragedy of what's happening to a child. Even if the child is born alive during an abortion, they will let that child cry itself to death.
Mm-hmm.
And many people don't mm-hmm. even know this. They don't even know the horror.
Would you take a moment, our time is almost gone, would you take a moment to pray for the church to grow in the understanding of how important this issue is to God, and to really rise to the occasion to be his instrument to do what he would call us to do about this?
Father, right now I come before you right now, Lord Jesus, and oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you for your guidance, that you will speak to so many that's in the church now. Speak to the leaders, speak to the shepherds, so they will educate their people, Father, of the tragedy of an abortion, a tragedy of destroying the life that God have ordained. And Father, I'm asking you to open the eyes of their understanding, Father, so they can see the wickedness of the enemy that's coming against the womb, coming against children. Father, we don't know what that child will be in this world, but you do know. And Father, you have us here, Father, to spread your word, Father, that life is ordained from you, not from man. And Father, we seek you for our wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, but your wisdom, Lord. And when we seek your wisdom, Father, we will go according to your will and do your will. And as you spoke to me this morning, Lord, your heart is a Christmas tree, and each one of our hearts should be a Christmas tree that we spread love, we spread your word, we spread the wonders of life, because you are the giver. And right now, Lord, open the eyes of your servants, understanding, so they will know your will above the will of man, because your will stands and the will of man fades. And Father, right now, I thank you for this opportunity. In your holy name, I give you praise, Jesus. Amen.
And Father, I too thank you for every believer listening. Father, anoint our minds, ears, and hearts with a fresh anointing that would encourage us to be wide open to what you're calling us to do to support the great work of pregnancy clinics all over our culture and our world. Help us to know, Lord, that the work of standing for life and against abortion is so important and so close to your heart. Help us to be about your business in helping to end the tragedy of abortion. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, our challenge to every listener is find out where your local pregnancy clinic is, pray for the work they're doing, and give financially to support the work, and consider volunteering for that as well. They're doing a great, great work. And if you're wanting more information about the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center, our website is greenwoodhopecenter.org. Again, greenwoodhopecenter.org for more information, or if you'd like to support it financially or to pray for it, we'd appreciate hearing from you.
And another thing about it, it's one thing to pray against abortion, but it's another thing also to help when that child comes.
That's right.
Because just like you're having a Christmas baby shower, that's helping that mother that can't afford to buy Pampers and buy clothes and buy bottles. We help even after that child get here. We are the community around each child.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we usually do, towards the end of the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. I repent and turn from that wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart anew. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
And please do, if you prayed that prayer, receive Christ today, email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope to hear from you. Evangelist Hergesine, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right.
Always, be blessed. Thank you.
Always great to have you. And Pete wanted to say goodbye there, too. So
yeah, I love Pete.
All right.
Have a Merry Christmas, Pete.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.